When your boat comes in, when your boat comes in, Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. The who there is God, so let me read it that way. God will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory and honor, verse 10, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And the people said,
amen.
You may be seated. There was a man named Caleb Mercer who had worked the docks in Savannah for most of his adult life. Started right out of high school. As soon as he got old enough, as soon as he could go to work, he did. And he worked those docks in Savannah most all of his life. He knew the groan of the cranes, and he knew the slow churn of the ships moving up the Savannah River. But then he knew the rhythm of all the things that happened there, and really he knew it better than the rhythm of his own heartbeat. You see, for 23 years, Caleb Mercer saved as much as he could save from every paycheck, quietly, carefully, no vacations, no new trucks, no risk until this one. You see, a supplier overseas was offering a handcrafted marine lantern, solid brass, weather-sealed, beautifully made. Caleb had seen one at a trade show one time and decided it might be a good venture someday, so he started saving for it. He decided that shops all up and down the eastern seaboard could use those things, and they were always hungry for authentic-looking, heirloom-quality goods that they could sell in their shops. He'd done the math hundreds of times. He had a stack of those long yellow legal pads that he had done the math on. And he figured it out how he could make money and how for lunch he could leave the docks and instead of being a dockhand, be an owner. If he imported a full container, he thought, and distributed him in the region, he could step out of that dock work and into that ownership role that he'd dreamed of. So one day, he signed the papers. He emptied the account, and incidentally, he had labeled that account Opportunity. It wasn't a savings account. It wasn't a banking account. It was a checking account. It was an account of opportunity, and he'd saved all those years. He wired the money and waited. He was notified on his nautical tracking app when the ship started out across the Atlantic Ocean. He went down to the dock when he was told that it was appearing on the horizon. The container ship came into the channel leading to the dock just after dawn, sliding past River Street up the Savannah River. Tourists leaned against the railing, drinking coffee and getting sugar off their lips from eating donuts. To all of them, it was just another boat. But to Caleb, it meant everything. It was his life. His boat had finally come in. Every one of us in this building, everyone who will later hear this message via the internet, everyone who might hear this message by stumbling upon it years from now, maybe even after I'm gone, every one of us that hears my voice every day of our lives are working for our boat to come in. We're looking for something in our life. You may not know it, and you may not want to hear it, and you may not even want to think about this, but every one of us have a boat coming our way. And that boat looks like this. It either comes in the form of our death, or it comes in the form of the rapture of the church. That day when every child of God will be raptured into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That boat that's coming in, be it death, ours, or the general rapture of the church, that boat that's coming in, each of us have a container on it. A container, let's just call it a container of life. And that container that you're working on even now is filled with your eternity. Whatever's in that box, whatever's in that imaginary box, that container that is your life, determines your eternity. Paul speaks about it in verse 6. Look at it. A day when God will, he says, render to each one according to his deeds. You see, there's a day coming in the future. And sometimes folks don't like to hear about it, and I know that some denominations have kind of ruled it. I don't talk about it much anymore because they say it scares people to think that someday this world's going to end. But my friends, I want you to know, according to the Word of God, someday this world's going to end. It may be today, praise God. It may be today that God raptures the church. It may be my day today. I don't know, but there's coming a day when God will render to each one of us according to our deeds. That day's coming. And that container of your life, you with me? That container of your life will be open. And the contents will determine what's happening in your life. And it may very well determine your eternity once that container's open. Now today, while we're all still breathing and we're alive and the church hasn't been raptured yet, I just think it'd be neat for CNN to carry that tomorrow. About the time the church preacher said something about church being raptured, they were raptured. I'd like to wait on that. There's a day coming. And today, while we're working together toward our lives, what we're really doing every day of our life is we're filling our container. We're putting into that container what will be opened up someday, the deeds that we do someday in the presence of God. Some life containers bear eternal goods. And other life containers bear things that are really empty vessels. And they're really not worth anything, though the container may be full. There's nothing of value because nothing has been put in. Some life containers bear those eternal goods. And listen, when they're open, there will be great joy for the laborer. Wouldn't it be something to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Won't it be something that when our container is open and we stand in the presence of God, even if in that container there's some things that are a little bit foul and a little bit not right, we're covered by the blood of Jesus, amen? Amen? And we can stand in the presence of God and know that our container has been filled with goods along the way that have some value to them. Other life containers, maybe even some in this building, other life containers are filled with nothing. They're full, but they're clay vessels and they have nothing in them. Whatever's been done in the life has not been valuable. It's had no value in the presence of God, and that is what really, really matters. So wherever and whenever that occurs, and it could happen today, what will your container look like? That day is maybe it was a place where you can remember where you came to Jesus. Do you remember? I was talking to a fellow the other day who said to me, "You know, I came to the Lord and changed the contents of my container out, and let me tell you how it happened." He said, brother, that he reached over in an old motel room and slid out the drawer in a nightstand drawer and pulled that drawer out, and there was a Gideon Bible, and he began to read that Gideon Bible. He said, before the day was over, he'd accepted Christ. And he'd emptied out his container, began to fill it with things that were good. Maybe you came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Vacation Bible School and God used bears and tigers and lions and all that kind of stuff to bring you, and some silly guy dressed up like a shark singing some song that made no sense. And somehow the Holy Spirit of the living God used that to bring you to the Lord. And you know that from that day forward, you begin to fill your container with things that were good, however that looked. Maybe It was in an old time tent revival. I'm going to have a revival. I'm going to be going down to Montgomery, Texas here in a little while, and I'm going to preach in the city park down there. The city has allowed us to do it, and there's a group of the church down there that said they wanted to, and for whatever reason, they decided not to be the one they wanted me to come down and preach. I'll be doing it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to do like an old time revival. One of the young pastors said, "You're wasting your time. That's old stuff." Let me tell you something. I wish we would have a revival like we used to have when I was a kid. When people really got on their face before the Lord, maybe that's what happened to you. Maybe that day when you changed out your container, maybe in that day is when you heard an old choir singing "Just As I Am." And you realized that you'd been tossed around by the seas of life and you had all kinds of doubt and fear. But that day you saw for the first time that dark blot in your soul and realized that you were the one that needed to be saved. You were the one that needed to be changed. And you were changed because you received Christ in your heart. And when you did that, you started changing out that life container. You begin to repent of the things that were found there and you cleaned your life up and all of a sudden you begin to put things in your container that mattered. You started filling with useful things. Things, if you will, that would last for eternity. And that's what God wants to give you, things that last for eternity. And now, maybe you're like me. Maybe you anxiously await for that boat to come. I got to tell you, I love life and I love living. I love what I do. I love saying some things too much. I enjoy my life. I like being the preacher. I like being the pastor. I try to keep my mind straight as long as I can. I'm going to be the pastor unless y'all run me off. And I'm going to keep trying to do this. I've still got so much to learn. I enjoy my life. But I'm going to tell you something. I long for the trumpet sound, for Jesus Christ to come. And I get to go into eternity and open my container before him and show him the things that I have done. Oh, there'll be some things that are unfit. But let me tell you something. If you're that one in that Gideon Bible motel, if you're that one that came down the aisle in an old tent revival, if you're that one that got saved in Vacation Bible School when you were 7 years old, however it happened, if you're that one, no matter what's in the container, it is covered by the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you something, the blood of Jesus hides all sin. God looks at me and he doesn't see how sorry I am. He looks at me and sees the blood of his son. He loved me enough to give his only son to die for me. And when he looks at me now, he sees that blood. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're waiting for that day. I'm waiting for my boat to come in. Maybe you're one of those that Paul spoke about in verse 7, our text. You waited. And while you're waiting, God gives you some things along the way. Paul said eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seeking glory and honor, and immortality. Waiting patiently. Sometimes, I'm not going to look out there. Somebody think I'm looking at them. Sometimes I run into Baptists that aren't too patient. Especially when it comes to eating. I run into Baptists that are just not real patient sometimes. Patiently waiting. What does that look like? Paul said, if you're patient in continuance, patiently waiting, continuing in worship, bringing glory to God through your life, well lived, no matter what season your life is in. This is no way suggests that works are some kind of mechanism for salvation. The works, the things you're putting in that container, are results of your salvation. You're doing good because Jesus saved you. You're not good because you're good. You're doing good because God is good. And you're putting those things into that container that will make a difference in the end to the one who lives in this continuance. You get in there and you stay. You put your shoulder to the wheel and you keep pushing. Jamie and I were moving a rack of chairs out of the chair storage room in the gym back there this morning, and I was on the backside. I was the motor. Jamie was on the front. He was the steerer. We've discovered those chair carts have a life of their own. And if you don't have two people on, you're in trouble. Let me tell you something. My life is a mess if I don't have somebody guiding me. My life is a mess, and my container has nothing worthwhile in it unless I have someone guiding me. And praise God, the one that guides me is the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Won't it be wonderful there when we get to heaven? Won't it be wonderful when our container is opened up And we can show the deeds that we have done in this world and lay all those things at the foot of Jesus. Verse 10 makes a proclamation that everyone whose works are good will have eternal life filled with glory, honor, and peace. Look what Paul says next. He talks about this container of sorrow. This container, I've been talking about that container of joy. It's a joyous thing to know that we've served the Lord and that we come to the other side and we're there. Won't it be wonderful if the day we walk up and hear him say, well done, won't it be amazing to stand in the presence of Jesus? I'm with the song. I'm with Bart Mellard. I don't know. I can only imagine what that's going to be. I really can't. I don't think I'll be able to stand. I think I'll just fall down. I'm not sure what I'll do, but I can't wait for that day to open my container of joy in the presence of God. But there's a container of sorrow as well. This container of sorrow is completely different from the first one I've spoke of. This one is filled with empty. Look at verses 8 and 9 of our text. But to those who are self-seeking, boy, you know I like this, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish will be on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. So here's that other container. It's heavy. They'll have to have the same crane to pick it up. They'll have to pick up the good works. But the problem is those heavy bad works, those heavy works that are of no count are just as heavy. Here's a container filled with emptiness. It's representative of a life outside of God and has no relationship with Jesus Christ. My wife and I have talked many, many times, and I've said this before. I think about people who do not have a relationship with the Lord. I don't know how they get through every day, let alone crisis. I know some folks who don't have a relationship with God, but as soon as they get into crisis, they want one. They want a prescription. They want me to write about something that'll get them through. Listen, I'm not the one to do that. You can do that for yourself today by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This other group is kind of filling a container filled with nothing. They're self-seeking, self-centered. They decide to try to get ahead in life, and that becomes more important than anything else, and they step on or over people to get there. They don't have time to love somebody because they're too busy loving themselves. They're self-centered, egotistical. They're just trouble. This life is running hard and an ever-ending endurance of a race for more. My son told me one time, he said, you know, I see people all the time that have money and they want more money, and they get caught up in that run, in that race of just endurance, trying to get more and more and more, and finally they get to a place where they just get more and more and more and more, but they never look to see that there is a God who will someday judge us. Seldom, if ever, these people seldom ever speak of God, unless it's in vain or, as I said, in the face of disaster. This life container is filled with angry outbursts. You ever know anybody like that? People just break out in anger. Its reward is tribulation and anguish, the scripture says. Misery fills their life container. I had a phone call not too long ago in the middle of the night. It was one of those, I wanted to say, how long have you been having this problem? And I know that they've been having a problem for 2 or 3 years, and I really want to say, well, if it's probably not going to change in the next 6 or 8 hours, call me back at daylight. But it's amazing the number of people who get in a jam, and they look in their life container, so to speak, and they realize, well, I have nothing. And somehow they come to me and think that I can give them something. Listen, I can't give you anything. But I'll promise you the God I represent and the Savior who saved me can. But I'm telling you that you need him now when times are good. You need him now when your container's a little bit empty. You need him now that you might have a foundation in your life. Misery fills this life container that's empty. Here's the one that Jesus spoke, I believe, in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6. There's a storm that blows in. We sang that song just a few minutes ago. I love those stories that Jesus talks about, that man who built his house on the sand and that man who built his house on the rock. Here's that man that built his house on the sand, this guy that has an empty container, this guy that has nothing. And the storm comes in. I love the story. The story in the Bible says, it doesn't say if the storm comes. It doesn't say it may come. It doesn't say the forecast says. It says when the storm comes. Have you noticed they come? I've been with some of you when we walked in those storms. And some of you walked with me in the storms. When the storm comes, Jesus said, if you have a solid foundation, the house will stand. This man who has nothing in his container of life is that man who's built his life upon sand. And the storm comes and destroys everything that he has, and he has nothing left. On that day, when the life container is open before a righteous judge of heaven, there'll be nothing there. Now, I want to tell you something. There are no negotiations when that day comes. Let me say that again. There are no negotiations when that day comes. And so how do you figure that, preacher? Consider verse 11. Boy, here's a verse that everybody knows. Here's a verse that I hear in all kinds of circles. I don't guess I've ever heard a funeral service preached about it, but I might choose one. Verse 11 says, for there is no partiality with God. In other words, it doesn't matter who you think you are, or how much you got, or how big you are, how little you are, how tall you are, how short you are. I'm going to stop there. It doesn't matter. All that matters in the presence of holy God, that your container, first of all, is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that container is filled with Jesus Christ, it's amazing what begins to happen. I want you to look at two verses, verses 9 and 10. The very last words of those two verses says, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Verse 10 says, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. You say, well, what's that mean, preacher? That means there's going to be some Greek people judged? No, it means that everybody's going to be judged, because this one, Paul's writing, that's all that was there, Jews and Greek. And he was writing to them and letting them know that, hey, there's no partiality with God. He doesn't pick and choose. He was telling those Jewish people who thought they had the law, had everything worked out. And I believe with all my heart that the Jewish people, Israel, I believe those people are a chosen race. I believe they are chosen people of God. I don't think they'll ever go to heaven if they don't know Jesus. I think it's the only way. So don't even if they're Jews. No, it doesn't matter. The Bible says that there's only one way, and Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, so there's no other way for you to go. You can fill your container with all kinds of stuff in the world and get to that day and try to negotiate with God, but listen, there'll be no negotiation there. On that day, when life containers are open, no negotiations, no deals will be made. Let me just parenthetically preach another sermon over here. Don't make a deal with God. Don't make a deal with God. People tell me, well, God, if you'll do this, listen, God's done it already. What more do you need than Jesus? So why would you say to God, God, if you'll do this, if you'll work this out in my life, God, I'll go to church Sunday. Let me tell you something. You can go to church every day of your life. You can go up here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can be here on Sunday and repeat it the next week. And friend, if you don't know Christ, coming in this building is not going to help you. No more than me walking into a hospital makes me a doctor, thank God. I walk in the room sometime to pray for somebody before they're having surgery, and they kind of get a wild-eyed look on their face when I tell them, I'm here actually to do this procedure for you. I'm going to operate on your heart. No. You see, you can have God in your life now. You have your container being filled even now. You can trust him. But in that day, you can't say to God, oh, I did this or I did that. It reminds me of what Jesus spoke in Matthew 25. Do you remember the story? In Matthew 25, red letters in my Bible, Jesus is saying there's a day coming when the sheep will be separated from the goats. So here's the deal. Brace yourself. There ain't nothing but a bunch of sheep and goat in here. You're one or the other. There's no in between. There's no kind of sort of being, and maybe nowadays and all the silly stuff they're doing, but there's no kind of sort of being. You are one or the other. And Jesus tells that story in Matthew 25, the day when those on his right hand, remember, will enter into heaven and enjoy his presence forever. And oh, here's that part that we don't want to talk about in the church because you might scare somebody. There'll be those on the left. And the Bible says he will cast them into a lake of fire. Preach, you believe that? I believe that because the Bible says it, friend. It says he'll cast them into a lake of fire burning with fire and brimstone, and he even names the list of people who'll be there. And some of the things that are being practiced in our society today are listed in the Word of God that they'll be there. There's some things in your life that prohibit Jesus from coming into your life. You say, whoa, now what are you talking about there, dude? What I'm talking about is people get so sold out to sin, they turn their back on God. And let me tell you something, friend. There's a day coming when God will no longer mess with your heart. Don't turn him down. Jesus spoke about that day of those on the right and those on the left. Those on the left were cast into hell with the devil and his angels. I think I've been around the devil a time or two in my life, and I don't want to spend eternity with him. And thank God I know that I won't. I will never go to hell. I can stand here and tell you that. A lake that burns with fire and brimstone. There'll be those on that day who will try to negotiate. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said there'd be those who'd say, but Lord, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we not see you in prison? God, but Lord. Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Lord, we did this, and Lord, we did that. But Lord, try to negotiate. And God, Jesus will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, it's not how many demons you cast out. It's not how high you can jump or how loud you can shout. It's about what's in your heart. It's about knowing that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I've discovered. I can jump a little taller when I know Jesus. I can shout a little louder when I know that I know him. I'm going to take that lap someday. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a lap around the building just so that I can. Not today. My legs hurt too much. But Lord, and he'll say to him, depart from me. I never knew you. Container empty. Nothing there. One day, there'll be no more chances. Think about that. It's almost as quiet in here as it was the other day when I named the brand of fan we're going to buy. Then I tried to clean it up last week, and wife said I made an even bigger mess of it. We're going to tour those things when we get them hung back there so everybody can forgive me. There's a day coming. Think about this now. I wrote this down. I had trouble writing it. It's got misspelling in it. And there's a day coming. I get chills thinking about this. There's a day coming when the grace of God will end. No, wait a minute, preacher. No, see, the grace of God is housed today in the hearts of men and women who know Christ. Someday when the trumpet sounds, the church is gone, the grace of God is done. There's this wonderful, beautiful thing called long-suffering. I love that old King James word, long-suffering. They tried changing all the new translations. I just like long-suffering. It means that God has put up with me all these years. God has dealt with me all these years, but there's a day coming when his long-suffering is going to be over. Long-suffering of God reaching in. And listen, friend, if your container is empty, when that happens, well, when's that going to happen? Preacher, I'd like to put that on my calendar. No man knows. I don't know for me. This may be my last day. I don't know. It may be next week. The church might be raptured later. Who knows? But the key thing is to know that there's something in your container that's worthwhile. Empty containers will be judged according to their emptiness. Now, you with me so far? I only got a couple more things. Friends, all of us are filling our eternal container right now. There are only two kinds of containers. When your boat comes in, you go to heaven via death. Your body dies, your spirit goes to heaven. And there's only two kinds of people doing the work. Look what verse 13 says. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. There are those in this building today who are looking at your watch, worried about the hamburger you're going to go eat, worried about the Mexican food you got to go consume, worried about the fact that Daisy's is not going to be open. Is it open today? Daisy's won't be open today. And the river and the Trinity Cafe closed. You're worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to do after church. You say, man, I wish you'd hush and get finished. I will here in a few minutes. But listen. There's folks that just kind of skim the Word of God, and they're more doers of the Word of God than I am an astronaut. Ken, there are no more doers of the Word than I can fly a plane. And the Bible says you got to be a doer of what you hear. There's a lot of folks skim the Word, but that's all. This one who has an unwelcoming soil is the parable that Jesus talked about in the Gospels. This one has the stony ground that had very little soil. This is the one where the seed fell into thorns, and thorns and thistles choked it out. This is the one that seed didn't make it. Oh, you've heard the gospel. You've heard it today. You've heard that the only way to fill your container with anything worthwhile is what? Know that you know Jesus. That, my friends, is the gospel. It is the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and my sins. James says it best. I love in the book of James, and boy, everybody knows this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And James said, if you are just a hearer and you do nothing with what you hear, I'm going to use a really, really bad example. So if you're packing, please don't pull it out, okay? If somebody ran in that back door right now and I said, let's get out of here, probably some of us would go down in the run. Some of us would be trampled to death and we'd be on Fox News that 47 people died because people ran over them going out. If I said that right now, there'd be a shudder in this building. But I'll guarantee you this. Now, Arnie, I know you're watching. If I said, get out, there's a gun! How many of you just sat there? Nobody. We'd make our way for these exits. There'd be some of you go as far as that old barn up in the hill, up in the pasture up there. Some of us just lay down on the floor. God forbid that anything like that would ever happen. But listen, you got to be a doer of the word. You see, if I said get out and you did it, you'd be a doer. If you just sat there like you didn't hear that, you heard it, but you didn't do anything with it, you're no longer a doer. You're being disobedient to God. And so many people are that way. Hearing the word, but once you hear the word, you got to follow in obedience. I love that word, obedience. Did you know that? To be drawn to God through his word is one thing. To obey is another. See, there's a lot of folks that, what's a terrible example too. There's a lot of folks that get like old Chevy Chase when he took his kids to Wally World. Remember? Man, he made the trip, got out there, and it was closed. He got plumb upset though that thing was closed. You remember? I'm telling you, you got to obey. He said, I'm going. I don't care. I'm going. And old Chevy didn't stop, remember? He even got Wally at gunpoint and made him ride the rides with him and open that place up. You say, what does that have to do with anything? See, he obeyed what he felt like he wanted to do. And when he got there, nothing stopped him. Why on earth would we leave here today and not obey the word of God? If God's speaking to you today, why would you leave? Why would you not do something with what being drawn to God? You have to obey God. Only the one who obeys, doing something with what is heard and filling their life container with eternal things, will get the opportunity to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. To hear and to know, yet never respond to fill your life container with good things is to fill your life with emptiness that have no value whatsoever. Caleb Mercer. The cranes creaked and groaned as they lifted Caleb's container out, set it down with a dull thud on that concrete dock. Mercer was close enough that he kind of felt the vibration of that thing when it hit the ground. Painted on the side of that container was Caleb Mercer, Savannah, Georgia. He walked up to it and kind of rubbed his hand across it as though if he did that somehow, he would feel the richness was about to come his way. He was handed the paperwork. He had imagined this moment in his life so many times. He'd even rehearsed it. He'd even rehearsed what he would do and where he'd go first and what he would do first. He ran his hand along that hinge on that door, rusty. Been on a ship coming across the Atlantic, welling up with pride and expectation. He wanted to see the manifest of his container, what he had spent his life savings for. He put his whole life into it. Had eaten very meagerly and lived very poorly waiting on that ship to come in. Caleb sensed it was a great day. The dockmaster clipped the band and secured the door. It opened with a creak. The stench of rotten wood covered with salt water hit their face, and Caleb sensed there was something very wrong. Water ran out of the door, and scattered inside were just all kinds of broken crates, and brass pieces, shattered glass. Those shards of brass just scattered everywhere, and the water ran out and cascaded down the edge of that container, ran into the ocean trying to get back from where it came. He looked in disbelief that what he had saved his entire life for, what he had put everything into, was empty. Nothing had any value. By that afternoon, there was a pile of bent and broken brass lanterns and shattered glass that glistened in the dark and was beautiful for a moment. But to Caleb, it was the worst thing he'd ever seen. Caleb said it would be a bad day in his life, but he had no idea this would be it. The shipmaster came up and told him that he would take pictures and fill out paperwork so he could make a claim, but Caleb said there won't be a claim. He said, I cut all the corners. I figured if I didn't get insurance, I could just trust the ship and the sea, and it'd make me have more money. All around him, that port continued in the rhythm of cranes lifting containers off of ships and trucks pulling away with them. But all he could smell was the rot of the air, of salt-soaked wood. As another truck pulled away, the rumor moved along, wide and brown and indifferent to anything that was going on. He had spent 23 years building a dream, saving toward that one morning. And in a moment, it was all gone. Nothing to show for a man who had invested everything to gain nothing. What will it look like, Jesus said, for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What's in your container? Are you filling it with good? Or is there anybody in this building today that would say, you know, I need to clean my container out. I need a fresh start. I need to do some things that are right. Friends, just on the horizon, our boat's coming. Jesus is coming. The day of opening the vessel, opening the container, is coming. What's in yours? Father, I love you and thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the songs we have sung. I thank you for the thoughts that you put into our hearts. And right now, God, without any further hesitation, on your behalf, Father, I extend an invitation to those in this building to take a close look at that container of their life, to look it over good, Lord, and to know that what they're putting in it has value in your eyes. And God, if a single person in this building would say, I just don't have a container and I need Jesus, Lord, I pray that today they might be saved, that today they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. And maybe, God, one or two or 100 or 200 that would say, you know, I just need to clean some things out. And you'd come to this altar and you'd just bow before God for a minute or two or five and just get right with God. I see the ship. Friends, I see it on the horizon. Father, thank you that that ship is so close, that boat is so close to coming in. Father, maybe there are those who have decisions that need to make. Would you lead in this invitation? I love you. I praise you. In the powerful, saving name of Jesus, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me all over this building as you stand As you inspect that container, would you come as God might lead you?